Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
We feel really good with where we're at. We're 6-4. We won two series. We pushed a two-game series and then had a split on a series with a rainout. So feel pretty good about being 6-4, but feel really good about it because we don't feel like we've played very good yet. Our pitching's been a little hit or miss. We got off to a hot start early on offensively and then have sort of fallen off as of late. So our defense is not been as good as we know it can be. So we got all these things kind of working against us, but we're still finding ways to win games. And once we kind of put it all together and start playing well, we're excited to see what this team can do.
Whit Merrifield, of course, of the Whit Merrifield Show, Mondays at 11 here on 610 Sports Radio with Cody and Gold. Went on MLB radio. This was before the game, obviously, yesterday, and discussed, hey, not even played our best baseball yet. And
wait, who said that?
6-4 at the time. Whit.
Whit said that. Okay.
And then 7-4 after last night's win. But we haven't played our best yet kind of feel. And I would agree. You're doing a lot of things well, and there's still some ceiling to hit, which is great.
You know, Whit said that yesterday. And then Carrington said that yesterday as well. And we were driving in the car, me and my daughter, who is 10 years old. And she heard Carrington say they haven't played their best baseball yet. And she starts yelling in the backseat, that is insulting. Why is he insulting the Royals like that? I'm like, would you like to call in to Carrington's show and
she had
tell
a bad
him?
Take. That's where she, Carrington was right.
But Carrington is right. And I think being 10 years old, maybe she didn't understand that it was a compliment more than an insult that they haven't played their best yet, but they're still 6-4 to start the season. Now 7-4, you know, where they are after last night's big win over the Toronto Blue Jays. But I thought it was really cute that my 10-year-old daughter's like, I'm going to go get mad at this guy because he insulted my baseball team.
The next time that happens, have her record the take. We'll play it on the air the next day. To refute or rebut.
All right. I tried to have her call in, right? I'm like, why don't you call the show right now, right?
They don't really do that, do they?
I don't know, but if I called them and say my daughter's mad at Carrington, I'm sure he probably would.
Well, you
would've
have the hotline number. Yeah. We could have made this happen.
I'm sure he would have taken the call, but
we should start doing that anyway. Just have our kids start calling into Carrington and complaining.
Complaining, yeah.
That's a good bit.
That is a good bit. Let's complain to Carrington. You know,
I don't know if we need a jingle for it.
Jingles are good though, man. So I just thought it was funny how like she got offended that Carrington said that about the Royals.
You don't say that about my team.
Right. They're trying their best. I'm like, yeah, but it's a compliment. They're not playing their best and they're still finding ways to win games. And then she kind of understood what Carrington was talking about. We moved on, but she didn't want to call into the show.
I would have liked to have heard like a pumpkin picking rant from the eldest Fesco daughter.
No, this is the younger one.
This is the younger one. She's full of piss and
she
vinegar.
Is,
that
yeah,
one.
She is. She's ready to roll. She'll write you insult the Royals. I mean, you got a 10-year-old girl can come after you and tell you what's what, right? Even if it isn't an insult, she thinks it is.
I could have gone pumpkin picking.
She's out there defending her baseball team. I raised her right. Wait till you say something about Mahomes.
Or that they can't go 17-0.
Yeah.
She's all over you.
Well, you're so insulting.
But you know, there's still ceiling to hit again, which is good. I'd rather be in that spot.
Yeah, I would too.
Then wow, they're just not good.
Mm-hmm.
They're playing well. They're winning games, and yet I can see plenty of things like you can take it up a notch. You can take it up. I don't know if Whit can, but there's some others. You're like, you can take it up. You can take it up. We get consistent starting pitching. You get the bullpen.
There's that whole middle of the lineup that could take it up.
You know the bullpen kind of figuring itself out.
Mm-hmm.
There's plenty of upside to this, and yet they're 7-4.
Yeah, I think it's a great spot to be in right now. The only real dominating team right now in baseball is the Dodgers. We were talking about it at a break. They're sitting at 11-2.
Just silly. Yeah.
You know what? They're on pace to win 137 games. Yeah. Do you think that happened?
I mean, they got so distracted by winning the title and their ring ceremony and everything, they've gone out to an 11-2 start.
That's correct. Okay, cool. Yeah, they're off to an 11-2 start.
Yeah, they're ridiculous.
Yeah, they're awesome.
I think they actually might break the record this year.
Are you being serious about that? Mm-hmm. What is it, 116?
116.
Yeah, I mean, they're already like a tenth of the way there.
Like, it's crazy.
Like 16, 17 games better on pace right now than that. I don't think they're going to win 130 games, but I think 117 is well within reason.
It probably is, but do they rest starters to not get them... You know,
what is this, football?
Yeah, I'm just throwing that out there.
You actually might if you're winning that many games. You might go ahead and do that.
Regular season, but then you get out of routine.
Taxi squad.
But then you get out of your routine and your swing gets whacked, and you know you don't want to do all that kind of stuff.
You want to be out of whack.
You want to be in whack.
You want to be in whack when it counts.
I love a good whack.
So the starting pitching now starting to come around, right? We saw Keller have a good start. Jacob Junis is off to a really nice start. Duffy's been tremendous. Miner's done his thing. So you're seeing now starting pitching coming around as well for Mike Matheny?
You know, I think Jake last time was on track. I think we just had a really good one by Duffy, too. And I don't think the numbers were there, but supported Brady as well. So I'm liking where our starting pitching is beginning to go. Brad is one of those keys. We just knew once he figured it out, he was going to roll. And I imagine we're going to continue to see him give us quality starts for a while. But, you know, we're just at that point where we can keep pushing Jake a little bit further. You know, he went out last game expecting it to be a pretty short outing. Next thing you know, he's standing out there through five. And this one, we're trying to just get him kind of a little more acclimated, push that count a little bit higher. And but I thought his mentality of how he was going about pitching, I thought it was exactly what we were looking for.
Jacob Junis, hey, man, I was wrong. Like
I was too.
I was like, done. I'm like, I've seen it.
I remember the day they re-signed him, and you and I looked at each other and went, why?
Why? Like, why? You got all these young starters down here. Looks like Junis is kind of giving you all
he can. We felt like that ship sailed.
All he can give you. I don't really need that as a long reliever necessarily. Go get a reliever.
Just because we want something different.
If you
want
to bring him back, that's fine, but I'm not expecting anything. And now he's like, he's putting the Heisman on the youngsters at this point in time. Like, there's no reason to take him out of this spot at this point in time. Like, hey, he went and made himself better, found a new pitch. It's working. Like, worked on his game. I mean, he's earned it. He's earned this. Now, two gamer, now into whatever it leads, and he's, you know, putting the block on some prospects at the moment. I love it.
Well, I got
the best out of him. Good.
I think, in my opinion, with the Junis deal, we didn't want him. We were like, ugh, okay, fine, find somebody else. But it's a tribute to him and him alone. There's nobody else that I can sit here and say, I'm attributing Jacob Junis' success to Matheny or Cal Eldridge. He realized himself that if he wanted to stay in this organization, be a starting pitcher in Major League Baseball, he needed to adjust and evolve. And he went out and learned that third pitch that he has now. And I think it's made all the difference in the world for him. And that's something special, man. Like, we've heard it a lot already this season from these guys. We've heard it from Salvi. We've heard it from Witt. Then we've heard it from Junis. We've heard it from Keller. All of these guys realizing, okay, this isn't working. I've got to adjust. And for me, the real eye-opener was Salvi when he talked about it. Like, I got to continue to evolve and get better and continue to make adjustments. You know, you got to continue and constantly do that. And Jacob Junis did that this offseason. Went out on his own, learned that third pitch, came back as a much better pitcher, and look what he's done so far. That should be a message to everybody out there. You're never too good at what you do to continue to evolve and make adjustments and make changes and try to get better at your job. If Salvador Perez, who's a Hall of Fame catcher, can go out there and do it, Jacob Junis can turn himself into a really nice starting pitcher so far this season. Anybody can do stuff like that. And I love the fact that Junis went out there and did that.
Big story coming up and your chance to win $1,000. Be listening for that keyword in the National Cash Contest. I'll give it to you next.
Fesco in the Morning, brought to you by Santa Fe Auto Sound, Kansas City's home for car audio since 1967.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof?
Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
Staff Hour brought to you by Santa Fe Auto Sound, Kansas City's home for car audio since 1967, commercial free until 9 o'clock. It is time to dash for the cash. Your code word this hour, the National Cash Contest, is TAXI. TAXI to 72881, T-A-X-I, TAXI to 72881. You could be the $1,000 winner in the National Cash Contest. Your next chance at 9:30. For complete rules, go to 610sports.com. Message and data rates apply. Powered by BetQL. Let BetQL's proven data and analytics help you become a better bettor. Download the BetQL app today. TAXI to 72881. Your chance at $1,000.
That was a great show.
TAXI was. Yeah, bad edit in the opening credits, but other than that, a really good show.
It's a bad edit. What are you talking
about? Watch the opening credits of TAXI. The bridge scene, the Queensboro Bridge that they're driving across, isn't long enough for the opening credits, so they edit it, and there's a big jump cut in there.
Did you see that guy that jumped a toll?
The drawbridge in Florida? Yeah. How wild is that? It wasn't that high, though. He drove through the barrier and then jumped the drawbridge in Florida.
It was the hazard style?
Yeah, but it was like rising, and he was like, the hell with this, I got to get to work.
Yeah.
And just punched it.
And you make it?
Hell to the end, you made it.
That's awesome.
It wasn't that far up. It was just starting to go up. Still. Yeah, but still, it's awesome.
I mean, he didn't have like Boss Hogg on his tail or anything.
No, it wasn't like 90 degrees up in the air where he flew in slow motion and
then
landed.
It wasn't like, you know, Sandra Bullock driving that bus over that giant gap.
But it's enough that you'd satisfy a dream of doing that.
Hell yeah. That's one you take to the grave and tell everybody about.
Every time I see one of those, you know, like the car movers. Because, you know, the Miracle Mile and Nolan Road and Independence, they're like right in the middle of the road. And they're unloading the cars off of there. And every time I'm driving to Nolan, I'm like, I think I can jump it.
You want to jump it. Yeah, you want to jump right up thing. Onto that thing. Yeah.
I think I can make this.
I think all of us, especially as guys, have wanted to jump a drawbridge.
Them damn Duke boys really put some ideas in my head.
And then you're like, meh.
Oh, I don't want to get arrested.
And your car's floating in the bay. Like, they're on the look for this guy now.
Or you...
They are.
Yeah, no, I'm being serious. They're on the look for this guy.
The fear is you jump and you don't quite make it. The front wheels make it and the back wheels don't.
And
you're like, oh man, I'm stuck.
And then you're hitting the gas.
Yeah, and you're like, oh man.
It was like a little compact car, so I would assume it'd be front
wheel. Yeah, it was like
drive,
a Mr. Bean still. Car type of thing.
And then the police come and they're like,
Mr. Bean.
You have no chance because your car's stuck.
You're stuck, yeah.
You know why I pulled you over?
Nope.
Yeah. Exactly. No, why?
My temporary tag expired? Yeah.
I was driving across this bridge, minding my own business, and the damn bridge went up.
I don't know.
Been meaning to get that blinker changed.
Yeah, that blinker fluid ran out, huh?
Big story.
Everyone, I'm sorry for the delay, but the big moment has finally come.
It's the big story.
This may be the biggest thing that's ever happened.
If it's what you're talking about, it's what we're talking about.
My God, are you still talking?
On Fesco in the Morning.
Museum, here's a pitch to Nicky. He hits it to left. Gurriel going over. Dives, he can make the play. That's a fair ball. Alberto's going to score easily. Nicky around second, racing to third, and he will be safe there with a triple, and the Royals lead 2-0. Here's the pitch. Alberto swings and rips it down the left field line. That'll get down into the corner. Dozier will score. Alberto into second base with another double, the third of the inning, and the Royals lead it 5-0.
Must make a quality pitch in a perfect spot to get Guerrero and in the game. Here it is. He struck him out. He got him with a slider low and away. It was not a strike. The ball in the dirt. Perez throws it down to first, and the Royals have survived the ninth. They win game one of the series. Final score, 7-5 Royals.
That's darn straight. Denny Matthews last night on 610 Sports Radio. The Royals another win, 7-5. Or 7-5, I should say, over the Toronto Blue Jays. 7-4 now. And lead.
See how that would be confusing.
The American League Central once again.
Right. All the teams you picked.
Back to back days, you've woken up and your team's in first place.
That's right. Going into the weekend with a first place baseball team. And it's only going to get better tonight when they take another one from the Toronto Blue Jays.
Mike Matheny, maybe a little bit like us today.
hungover?
No, the celebration was a little bit lacking.
Somebody dropped the ball, and we came in, and there was no music. And all I heard people yelling at Brady Singer. I don't know if they've made him the impromptu DJ, but he dropped the ball. I was a little disappointed. I was wondering, you know, they didn't think that was a good enough win to celebrate. I was getting ready to go in and raise some hairs on that one, but they picked it up as I was walking out.
Yeah.
There was a lot of noise. I don't know what they were playing, though. I don't know any of those songs.
Dan Fogelberg.
They seem to be enjoying it. That's how I like to watch them.
You know, I think
I love it.
In
it's
the
not
future.
It's not loud enough in here. You guys didn't celebrate what? It's almost 7-0 and ended up being 7-5. You still won the game.
You won the game.
Go ahead and celebrate, guys.
Yeah.
That's coming from your manager. That's
right.
Awesome.
Go out there and play the music, because if I'm Mike Matheny, the message that I'm sending today is if I get into this clubhouse and music isn't playing, I'm the DJ. And then you will get Dan Fogelberg.
You'll play Dad's music and you'll like
it.
Don't you remember you told me you loved me, baby?
You want that? Take it home, Brady Singer. So what you're gonna get?
I love you.
You better take over the DJing yourself. You never know what's gonna be on
Mike doesn't care. He'll tell you he loves you.
Yeah. Right. And you get a little muskrat love in it, baby.
I forgot we were going to play muskrat.
Our guy, Jason, DJ Hyden,
we could do this all over again.
Sent a tweet last night. He's willing to DJ after the games in the Royals clubhouse if they need somebody to go in there and DJ. Because tonight when they beat the Toronto Blue Jays and moved to 8-4, if music isn't playing, Matheny better muskrat love this thing up. Just start playing the worst possible music that you could play.
It might actually be Muskrat Love.
The laser in the background.
Muskrat candlelight, doing the town and doing it right.
Is this Linda Ronstadt?
That's Tennille.
Oh. What about the captain?
He's no longer with us.
I don't think either of them are with
us. Tennille's no longer with us either?
No, they just got divorced. That's what it was. Susie,
Muskrat Sam.
They can't figure out love.
Who can?
Right?
They're supposed to keep them together.
J-Lo and A-Rod are going to break up.
Yeah.
What is this song?
This is so bad.
It's Muskrat Love.
This song is horrible.
This is a nice 70s ballad that you order on Time Life when you're hammered on a Friday night. I need collection of the 70s, Marge. Get it on now.
Was he a real captain?
Yes.
I mean, he wore the hat.
Had the hat and the blazer
the hat,
and everything.
You're a captain,
what else
man.
Do you need?
Back in those days, you had the hat. That was halfway there.
So if these guys aren't going to play the music and celebrate wins, Matheny's coming in and he's taking over.
Sucking on a chili dog. Sucking on a dog. Sucking on a chili dog. Chili.
Have we made our point?
Yeah, guys. You want?
Have we made our point?
Yeah. Royals, celebrate the wins better, or you're going to get that.
Yeah.
Don't leave your manager to DJing.
I mean, these guys need to have a meeting, and they need to decide who's going to play the music every night.
This with the
1,000% you go smoke on the wall.
Yeah. This with the actual fog machine though, kind of works. So I'm not.
Get some lights, strobe lights going
the
on.
Lights going on. I don't know if this is
somebody's doing a power stance in the corner.
This isn't a bad option.
Matheny's doing the air guitar to this, yeah. Rusty's dancing, no shirt on.
Scott Barlow whipping those curls around.
Oh, God, yeah. Somebody from the front office comes down with their tie around their head, swinging it. The tie's going in all different directions. Oh, wait, Gene's not with the team anymore, so he can't do that.
It's good. It's good.
You better celebrate better, Royals. Yeah. Every win matters.
This would be the Deep Purple. We'd probably go like Space Truckin' or something.
If you don't celebrate the win, then Dad's coming in with Dad Rock.
That's right.
That's right.
Forget it.
You're getting Fog Hat. You're getting Deep Purple.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You're getting some Allman Brothers.
Allman Brothers.
That's right.
Yeah.
You want a little River Band? I got it on deck for you, baby.
You want a little CCR? Because that's next.
Yeah.
Rusty. There is Matheny. He like, what is gonna play this.
What is this? Play something I don't know.
Play some Skinner,
he'd rather you play something he doesn't know.
Play Freebird! That's the way it's going to be, guys. So you better step up your celebration game.
I mean, these are deep questions that we're having.
I know.
Good. They should be. The important stuff. Who's playing the music today? Who's assigned to that?
Game two of the four-game set tonight. Mike Minor against Steven Matz. 7:10 first pitch on 610 Sports Radio. Vern has your on-deck show tonight at 6. Oh, yeah. Yeah, for sure.
I don't know why Foghat jumps out to me. That's Matheny's band, right?
Is this guitar rock? Well, turn it up.
Turn it up, man. .997 KY. Max Tannen Moffitt.
I may move to England.
It's a two for Friday here on 99.7 KY.
Someone's doing like air kicks in the background.
Have we made our point?
I think we've got a little.
Well, then I want to go in this locker room, is what I want to.
No, we'd like it, right? 25-year-olds, I don't know if you want.
I would definitely skew towards Mike Matheny's playlist myself.
Probably.
But I get it. He's like, I don't want to hear my playlist. Mm-hmm. I can hear my playlist anytime. Celebrate the win, guys.
Right.
Go do it, which is it's coming from your manager. It's awesome.
Right.
Go do
it. Is. Because in baseball, you just don't normally get the let's enjoy it.
Let's do it, boys!
Taking care of business every day. That's what we're doing here, boys. We're taking care of business.
Why is this intro is so long? Tell me what you do.
You have an obvious statement.
This is get you fired up after a game.
There's a question in there?
No.
Not at all. What are we doing now?
And working overtime.
Rusty, go.
There's Rusty on the guitar, baby. We got Pedro on the drums. That's Vance Wilson on the cowbell.
And the hitting coach, a caller Dave doesn't know, or a caller, what was that guy's name earlier in the week? Didn't know the pitch, the hitting coach and wanted to
call him Brad. Terry Bradshaw.
Brad. Call him Brad. Call Brad's guys on the bass.
Billy DePlissy on the spoons, everybody. So that's what you got coming to you. Celebrate.
Nice. Nice.
I'm excited for that.
Mm-hmm. Cal Eldred on the kazoo, everybody. Or that? What's that thing where you go?
The slide whistle?
Yeah, the slide whistle. Yeah. Cal's got that covered.
I like that you made the noise and the motion.
Like you knew exactly what I was talking about.
We knew exactly what he was going for, though, Ryan.
From the text line, I'm not going to read that.
Okay, well, fine example. Fine use of the text line. It's a fine use of the text line.
Was it about growing a mullet?
Yes, that, that guy.
Okay. I mean, I'm with you, dude. I'm off here in an hour and 15 minutes. I'm going to do everything but grow a mullet.
I think we got our point across, right?
The William Hill, the... the betting establishment.
I thought it was somebody.
No.
Bill Hill?
William Hill on harmonica. No. They're out with their over-under win totals for a 17-game season now.
I never even heard of the guy, to be honest.
And the Chiefs are at 12.
Mm-hmm. Take the over.
They are the highest over-under win total in the NFL. Bucks at 11.5. At 12 is the over-under. It's kind of refreshing in a way to think about the national perspective of the Chiefs, because I would think so many people would be tripping over themselves to say
it's over.
Yeah.
Yeah. But they're not.
But they're not.
Because they're not stupid.
They're treating it almost like, yeah, you know, I feel like the collective we treated it was a Super Bowl loss. It was disappointing and was sad, but I'll get them again.
Uh-huh.
And we got a chance to get them again. I feel like the NFL, I'm kind of pleasantly surprised the NFL experts, for the most part, now they are trying to put people in the Chiefs sphere,
mm-hmm,
but it's always, all right, who's going to be there with the Chiefs? Not who's going to necessarily overtake them, but it's the Chiefs and who.
Right. And you know, when they do that panel discussion, I just can't help think back to Marcus Spears. Everybody on this panel knows the Chiefs are the best team, you know, in the AFC, but nobody's saying they're not the best team in the AFC. They're always talking about who can contend and who can compete with the Kansas City Chiefs. And I think that over, oh, I guess you got 17 games now, so the over-under totals are going to be a little bit higher. I was like, that's higher than last year, and they're coming off a Super Bowl loss versus a Super Bowl win, but when you have the 17th game added in, you're talking about 12. Do you think the Chiefs are really going to lose 5 games next year?
No.
Think about that. I think the even with the over-under being at 12 right now,
I think 13-4 is,
yeah, mm-hmm, doable. I think 17-0 is very doable, but 12-5, if they finish the season at 12-5, they're middle of the pack team probably. They're probably the third or fourth seed. They don't get the first round bye. They may get a home playoff game at that. So I think 12-5 right now is a very underachieving record for the Chiefs, and so I would go pound the over on that one. I think they're going to get the over, you know, on 12 games this year, and I think they're going to, you know, be obviously the team that takes home the number one seed in the AFC. But I do appreciate all the national folks still understanding what that Super Bowl was all about, because there are times, Josh, and I don't know if you've ever recognized this, where I may drink a little bit too much of the Kool-Aid with the Kansas City Chiefs and maybe have sometimes blinders on, you know, when it comes to the team. But the national folks are really treating what happened in that Super Bowl like it was just an anomaly, which it was. And it's one of those things that happened, and every once in a while you see those anomalies in sports happen. And really the only thing to me that would keep the Chiefs from achieving their goal of getting back to the Super Bowl again is if they fail to finish addressing the needs along the offensive line, which I don't think they will fail to address. I think they will cover that in the draft. We may see a trade. We may see a trade up in the draft, whatever. I think this is going to be something that gets taken care of within the next 2 weeks, and we go into the draft or come out of the draft when it's all said and done and go, okay, we've got that line solidified. And then as we get closer and closer to the training camp, if Eric Fisher's improving, maybe they sign him to a 1-year contract and bring him back in as some insurance for this offensive line. So I think by the time the season starts, this team has addressed and will address all the glaring problems that they've had along that offensive line, and we can all look at what the national guys are saying. Yeah, the Super Bowl was a major anomaly for the Kansas City Chiefs.
Ben Maller, Fox Sports Radio, joins us each and every Thursday here on 610 Sports Radio. Of course, you can hear him overnights every night here on 610 Sports Radio as well. He operates from that perspective as well. It's the Chiefs, and
mm-hmm,
how are you going to try to catch them?
There's no equalizer to Patrick Mahomes because of his age and his ability. There's no one that's on the horizon. I know they try to sell Josh Allen, some of these other guys. I'll believe it when it happens. I don't see anyone out there that can compete talent-wise with Mahomes. So, yeah, I mean, you have to try in other ways to try to equalize with what the Chiefs have, but it seems it's a pretty futile act, it would appear.
I wish that was a comment from like anonymous AFC scout.
Right.
It would have been so great if that was Mallard's, like, it's pretty futile.
Yeah. You
know, it's like, whatever.
I mean, I can make it from.
You could.
You could. Yeah. Yeah.
It might take a minute, but I can get there.
But he's not right about that. I mean, Patrick Mahomes, and I hate like sounding that homerish homer, but it's true. I mean, the guy.
I don't know.
But the guy is better than everybody else in football at that position. He just is. And is there anybody on his level? No. Are there guys that are really good? Yeah, there are. But we still have that synergy with him and Andy Reid and Eric Bieniemy and the weapons that are on this team. And I really think, if anything, the Super Bowl loss is going to be something that drives this team even more. I mean, we saw the way that they came off that loss to the New England Patriots a couple of years ago, and that was used in their craw to get back and to win that AFC Championship game and then carry that into the Super Bowl and win the Super Bowl. And I think right now, like, losses and bad performances tend to drive this team even more than they're already driven. And that's why I say look out, rest of the NFL. Look out, everybody that's on their schedule this year. I feel like the Chiefs, even if the national folks aren't saying it, I feel like they believe that they have a lot to prove this year because of what happened in the Super Bowl, and that's the last we've seen of this team. And I expect them to come out and use that Super Bowl loss as an amazing motivator to go 17-0 and win the whole damn thing again.
I like when teams are madder about it than you are.
Yeah.
Because
they are.
It feels like it's rare. Like, as a fan, you always, I think.
Oh, God, yes.
Yeah. We wear things a lot more than players do often.
Yep.
This might be the reverse this year, and I don't hate it.
I don't hate
like
it either.
The Royals
14 the Royals going into 15.
The Royals 14 thing.
Great
that,
analogy.
That ate at them much more than it ate it. I mean, it ate at me. I mean,
we still talk about leaving the stadium that night. I go, that was fun.
Yeah, I was like, that's a great run. That was awesome.
I do think
they were ticked. I think most of the time you as a fan are more mad about your team than they are.
Right.
You wear it a little more personally at times.
Mm-hmm.
Might not be the case for this Chiefs team.
There is a short window to use that as well, right? Like when Tom Brady and the Patriots were using the bet against us, I think the rest of the country outside of Foxborough was like in unison rolling our eyes going, really?
Mm-hmm.
Really?
Really? Yeah.
So I think that there is like this finite window of being able to say, oh man, we got this chip on our shoulder. We got something to prove. We're gonna go back and we're gonna vindicate a loss that we had. Like at some point, and I think we're getting there pretty soon, actually. Like at some point, it's not gonna register with anybody.
Well, because we're not gonna lose ever again.
Well, let's just act realistically here, though.
I am.
Like
you can only use Super Bowl losses a certain amount of times, and if you don't have them, you can't use them. So
right.
Yes, this one you have to.
Well, it's
use
done
it,
after this
or
year.
You will lose it.
Right.
So I'm not even saying like a Super Bowl loss. I'm just saying like a loss and maybe even an AFC Championship game. That's even going to have the same cachet it once had of let's go back for unfinished business. You know, I mean, you get a handful of rings, which I'm not prophesizing that's what's going to happen, but hey. It'd be awesome if it did, but I think that once you have those rings, it's increasingly difficult to go, boy, I have a chip on my shoulder and I want to get back for 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6th one? Yeah.
But can it, though? Like, can't you always, forever, the rest of your life go, man, that taste after that Super Bowl sucked. I'm never having that again, and I'm going to do everything in my power to never experience what that taste was like? I think you can. I absolutely
should.
Do.
You should try.
Yeah, I absolutely think you can have that. And that's why professional athletes are a different level. That's what we talk about, and they play.
I feel like if you get to the mountaintop so many times, like having a few stumbles along the way isn't the end of the world to you, and you can no longer use
it. Oh, I disagree. I think the more success you have, the more you're fueled by that success, and the more you never want to taste defeat ever, man. Success is like a drug with anything.
I don't want to taste defeat either.
You hope it's that way.
Yeah.
Because I think that's what Brady is.
I think Brady is definitely that way. I think Mahomes is that way, too. I don't think Mahomes ever wants to walk off the field again having the taste of a loss. Not just like any field, even preseason.
And speaking of that, questions have now popped up surrounding the presumed number one draft pick and mm-hmm. having a chip on his shoulder or not in this case. Trevor Lawrence did an interview with Sports Illustrated, which is drawing a lot of reaction, a lot of former players weighing in mm-hmm. on this one as well. The questioning of whether or not he's going to have enough drive to go and be a multiple Super Bowl winning quarterback. And he's got those drives to go do those things because of this quote. It's hard to explain that because I want people to know I'm passionate about what I do and it's really important to me, but I don't have this huge chip on my shoulder that everyone's out to get me and I'm trying to prove everyone wrong. I just don't have that. I can't manufacture that. I don't want to. And it's being interpreted by some players as saying he doesn't have a chip on his shoulder. He doesn't have an edge. I don't want him. I've heard that. That you wouldn't want that because you want a quarterback that's got some edge. Frankly, I feel like Trevor Lawrence has been a winner. High school, college.
State championships, national championships. Like, at this point in time, why should he have a chip on his shoulder?
From the point where he was a freshman, he was already anointed as a future number one pick. and probably number one overall pick and was the quarterback of the, you know, generation, whatever, what would have a chip on your shoulder about that? I think you can still be a competitor and you can still want to win, but he's coming from a spot where I backed it all up.
Yeah.
Like, how am I going to chip on my shoulder that I, you know, I think Patrick Mahomes uses the I wasn't drafted high thing is great. He also uses the, well, I never went in college and that sucked and I don't want to do that again.
And I had to go to Texas Tech.
Right? Those types of things. I think, you know, Tyreek Hill, as Ryan mentioned earlier in the show, how many times can you bring up, I'm, you know,
a return specialist,
I mean, right?
Pat was from Texas.
Okay, so you use those Texas certain Tech motivators.
But you got times passed up by UT and A&M, though.
Tom Brady can say where he was drafted. Never, you know, use that all the time, and that was a fuel for him. But Trevor Lawrence has been anointed since he was a freshman.
Yeah,
like I don't expect him to have a chip on his shoulder. Do I think he's a competitor? Do I think he's a winner? Yeah, I do. I mean, he's done it. So
seems to have a nice upbringing and a stupid hot wife.
So. I wouldn't. I think he's got a lot of things figured out.
Yeah,
I think the kid's pretty mature and he's got a good head on his shoulders. Was a great. You know, they followed him certainly at Clemson. Did a bunch of stuff off the field as a college athlete. I think he's got a lot of. I don't know if, you know, he's going to win a whole bunch of, but I wouldn't be questioning, like, wow, does he have enough of an edge to be an NFL quarterback? Because he's got other interests, and he's not going to just say, I'm going to put everything out there and I'm going to prove people wrong, because he's proved people right.
I mean, I don't want to make it sound like he hasn't had to work for things, but he's got a pretty sweet life up to this point, right?
But he's got a great.
That's what I'm saying. I don't want it to sound
he's
like
he's not like Josh Rosen, who had everything ready for him.
All I'm saying is it's really difficult to have continued to be the best, to have success at every level you've had, to, you know, be recruited highly, to be touted as a number one overall pick for pretty much 2 years.
Two years now.
And, you know, again, I'll reiterate, his wife, ridiculously attractive. And, like, life seems to be going pretty well for him.
And he's got beautiful hair.
I am not bothered in the least. And he goes, yeah, it's hard for me to manufacture a chip. Yeah, I can see your life,
sure,
dog. Like,
yeah,
it's pretty easy to understand how it's difficult for you to say I've been overlooked. Like,
right.
You're not.
Like,
it doesn't discount the fact that he could still be a winner.
Absolutely. I don't think anybody should discount that.
It's ridiculous to question it based on the fact that
he's won at every level.
I'm sorry,
it's difficult.
I've been so good my whole life. It's hard for me to imagine not being good.
Yeah, I'm not going to have a chip on my shoulder because everything that I've set out to accomplish so far in my career of playing football, I've been able to accomplish. You mentioned the high school championships,
and the
collegiate
wife
championships. You mentioned the Heisman Trophy. Like, being the number one pick for the last 2 years has been the talk, and he's lived up for it. Took a step backwards. Or, you know, you always see guys who was the presumed number one pick the next year, and then this college football season happens and you never hear from that guy again, right? Trevor Lawrence has lived up to everything. You don't think that's been a lot of pressure to live up to all of this stuff every single day for the last couple of years at Clemson, to not only lead his team to a national championship, oh, and by the way, took over for Deshaun Watson, who was unbelievable at Clemson. So he took over for an amazing quarterback that everybody loved at that university, and he filled in and continued to have the successes down there at Clemson, won the Heisman Trophy, came back the next year, played a great season, is the number one overall pick. Like, the guy has checked every box and has knocked down every obstacle in his way. So anybody who's saying, well, this guy just isn't driven, is a dope.
The Staff Hour brought to you by Santa Fe Auto Sound, Kansas City's home for car audio since 1967. A 500 or better season is a lock. Recent stats say it. Next.
Fesco in the Morning, brought to you by Santa Fe Auto Sound, Kansas City's home for car audio since 1967.